Been here to Christ the Rock before. It's great to have you. Hopefully you can feel at home. And this is the kind of worship we get every week. This is wonderful. They are wonderful. They did a great job. Sure. I do want to say something about the dental trip because my wife leads it. This is a different kind of a mission trip that Christ the Rock sends, in that over half the people have yet not chosen to follow Christ yet. They have great dental skills, these dentists or assistants or hygienists, but many of them don't yet know God. And so please pray for them, because it's an opportunity when they get to a different country, their cell phones don't work. They can't be on their computers. They can't be everywhere else. They can't do that. So there's really more opportunity for God to speak to them, because they just have more time to do that. So please pray for all of them, okay? And pray for my wife, too. Appreciate that. We are currently in the middle of a five-week series entitled What Matters Most. We've been teaching on the greatest commandment of the Bible, not one of them, but the greatest commandment. A couple of weeks ago, Bill talked about how to love God with all your heart. And last week, Peter talked about how to love God with all your soul. Today we're going to talk about what it means to love God with all your minds. Now, just to test how your minds are doing after the emotions of last night, I'm going to read a few statements, and then you decide if they're true or false, okay? So let's see how you do on these things. So, first one. Bulls are enraged by the color red. Okay, how many think it's true? Okay, good. How many think it's false? Okay, well, it is false. Bulls can't actually see any color. They see black and white. To be honest, I think the bulls are probably more enraged that some guy is wearing green or blue knickers and waving a tablecloth in front of them with no food. How many got it wrong? I actually got that wrong. I thought it was always red. Okay, let's try another one. You will get arthritis from cracking your knuckles. Well, okay, let's do lemmings instead. Okay, no, we'll do the knuckles. How many think it's true? Come on, raise your hands high if you think it's true. Okay, good. How many think it's false? Okay, so far you're doing okay. It is not true. Cracking of the joints has never been found to be a... contribute to arthritis, because they want to keep doing it. In fact, the cracking you hear, now listen to this, is nothing more than redundant gases being jettisoned from the fluid surrounding a joint being released. Yeah, whatever, but that's what it is, okay? Doesn't mean that it's not annoying when your 14-year-old does it at the dinner table, like mine. Okay, next. Goldfish. We all have opinions of goldfish, right? Goldfish have a memory of only a few seconds. How many believe it's true? How many believe it's false? Okay, no. Actually, goldfish memory lasts far longer. In fact, now believe this or not, in 2008, an Australian schoolboy, why he did this, I don't know, but he found that goldfish could be conditioned to behave in specific ways in as little as 3 weeks. Don't get any ideas, wives. In fact, it seems increasingly likely that it was a little more than a goldfish's owner's desperate ploy to avoid the guilt of knowing they left a defenseless fish swimming around and around and around that bowl. No, goldfish have a long memory, believe it or not. Okay, next one, lemmings. How many of you even know what a lemming is? Raise your hand. Okay, nobody, hardly. And lemmings engage in mass suicidal dives off cliffs. How many think that's true? Good for you. How many think it's false? I scared some of you, didn't I? How many have no idea, don't care? Yeah, okay. No, they actually don't. There's a few key reasons why people believe this. Foremost is what lemmings do is they, like, for 3-4 years, they increase in population. Then they decrease. Strange as it sounds, that's what happens. Despite decades of research, now I don't know why you'd spend decades of research doing this. Nobody has any idea why this happens. In fact, just because I'll throw this one in, because we're talking about our mind, a 16th century French geographer tried to explain This is what he said, and he believed it. He said, lemmings fell out of the sky in stormy weather and then suffered mass extinctions with the sprouting of the spring grasses. Yeah, right, whatever. That guy probably didn't make a lot of money doing that, okay? Okay, my last one, though, is probably the most important one. I want to end with this one. Now, just so you know, this isn't to make fun of anybody here, okay? Okay, got that. In any NFL game you've ever watched, every kicker should be able to kick a 27-yard field goal to win a game with 2 seconds left. True or false? True. Yes, true. But it was false. And I'm still disappointed. I'm not bitter at all. Okay, I just had to get that off my chest. Now, I have even believed some pretty unusual things over the years besides the Vikings are a great team. Now, I used to think that, okay, I'm from Minnesota, give me a break. I used to think that hot water froze faster than cold water. Hot water froze faster than cold water. That's because my oldest brother, who was going into college the next year, told me this. I actually went down to my neighbor down the street and said, hey, hot water freezes faster than cold water. And my friend's dad said, okay, Chris, let's just find out. So we tried it. Of course, it didn't work. And for the next 3 years, he said, hey, you know, Billy, your friend Chris is here, Mr. Hot Water Freezes Faster Than Cold Water. He just capped after it and after it. Luckily, I was only 7. Okay. I also believed that a girl that I really liked when I was a sophomore in college would eventually like me. No, that didn't happen. Okay, you probably believe some crazy things too. How many of you were told and believed, now raise your hand proudly on this one, that if you ate an whole apple, a tree would start growing in your stomach? Yes, I'm so glad somebody believed that. It was wrong, of course. Humans only use 10% of their brains. No, that's not true. Going out with wet hair doesn't make you catch a cold. Now, not knowing what is true in some situations just doesn't affect us that much, but it can be pretty important in certain situations. So take, for instance, this. Do I have lighter fluid or gasoline in the container that I'm going to use to light a fire in my backyard? Yeah, that's pretty important. I found that out. Also, is there a car behind you when you're backing out of the garage to go hunting with your son, Jeff, just a few months ago? The answer was yes, there was, and no, I didn't know that. Okay. But seriously, how about those really big decisions in your life? How important is it to know the truth in those situations? What is really right? To be able to make good decisions. I think all of us want that. Take, for instance, you know, who are you going to marry? Wouldn't you like to know that? Or what is the best person? Who is the best person to promote as a manager? Should you invest in that financial plan? Well, not last week, apparently. What classes should you take in college? Should I say those words to my husband? You know, we'd all like to have answers to those questions. That's why he commands us, by the way, to love him with all our minds. To love him with all our minds. Today we're going to talk about why loving God with all your mind matters. This command is referenced in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Now, we've talked about that the last couple of weeks, but it's also found in 3 out of 4 Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In each of the Gospels, Jesus references it as the greatest commandment, so we should pay attention to this. In fact, in Mark 12, Jesus was asked point blank by some of the smartest people of the day, some of the PhDs of the day. They said, you know, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he said this in verses 29 and 30. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So according to this, he's asking us to love him with all of our thinking and all of our mental capacity, our minds. But how does that work? What does it take to love God with all our minds? So, you know, I asked myself some questions. What does that mean? How do you do that? Does loving God with all my mind that I should just be as smart as I possibly can? If I'm just as smart and learn as much as I possibly can, does that mean I'm loving God with all my mind? Well, maybe, partially. What if I get good grades in school? Then am I loving God with all my mind? Well, then when I was a freshman in college, I didn't do very well on that one. I got 3 D's in one semester. That didn't work very well for me. Maybe if I just sort of like give him my brain or something, you know, like, here, God, here's my brain. I'm loving you with all my mind. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. So I had to dig a little bit. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So at first I thought God wanted me to love him with all my mind. But here it says that I should trust him with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding or mind. But then I read it again. It says, same thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. The Message Bible helps to understand this a little bit more. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. So don't try to figure out everything on your own. Don't lean on it completely. You know, you use your mind, but you need to lean on God's understanding. Okay, that's good. So trusting God with all my heart is not leaning on my understanding only, but God's. So how do I get this understanding? How do I get his mind? So let's look at Romans 12, 2. It says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so we're going to take a little bit of this verse at a time. So let's take the first part. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. That's what it says. Now that's hard. It's not easy for us to believe. It's not easy for us not to believe what everybody else is believing or do the things they do. We want to fit in, you know, especially in your teen years, right? Remember that time? But this means something a little different. In other words, don't copy the thinking and behavior of the world. That's what Paul says here. Stop thinking and doing what everyone else is thinking and doing. Stop doing that because it's going to get you in trouble and some of it's wrong. Now, I became a Christian when I was 16 through a Bible study in my high school, actually. And I went to the university and I was just a brand new Christ follower. I was just learning about God. So my understanding of God was pretty limited, really. And while I was there, I remember meeting up with some other people who wanted to follow God too. And I had this belief, and I around me and other people didn't. And the belief was, I thought abortion was just fine. Just fine. Just true. In fact, I remember thinking, you know, live and let live. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, this is what I was taught. Not taught at home, but this is what I just learned, right? And after a while, I remember somebody took me aside and said, Chris, do you know what the Bible says about this? And I said, I don't know any verses in the Bible that talk about abortion. But they said, no. God has a different view of people that aren't born yet, kids that aren't born yet, how he sees them. And I thought, wow, I didn't know that. So they started to show me verses, and it became clear to me that I was being conformed to the pattern of this world. That's what it was meaning. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, because it's harder than ever, I think, today to discern what's true in culture, in today's culture. Opinions so easily become truth. And that's what was true for me, too. It's easy to conform to the pattern of this world. It's easy, far easier than we even know ourselves. But Paul warns us not to. I mean, there are times where I need to push myself and ask these questions. Is what I believe about this true or not? Is what I believe about this true or not? God, please show me the areas in my life where what I believe is not true. God, show me the areas that what I believe already is just not true. Okay, the second part of the verse, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? Now, just taking a few words here, transform means to completely change. It's like a similar word to metamorphosis, you know, when caterpillars become butterflies. It's a complete change. It's not a like change a little. It's a complete change. It's like 180 degree. I thought this was true. No, this is true. So completely changed. So be transformed. And then it says, by the renewing of your mind. Renew means to actually means to restore our minds as if new again. Okay, so this is what God's saying. He's saying, I want you to have your mind transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? And it has to be new again. Slowly I'm going to make it new again. It takes a long time, but I want to change it. Now let me give you an example. So this is many years after I started to follow Christ. But I was really frustrated with a relative of mine. Anybody ever be frustrated with a relative of yours? Yeah. Okay. It seemed like this guy, he could get away with murder. He could go golfing whenever he wanted, and I was lucky to get out 3 or 4 times. He bought new clubs, and I ended up getting my hand-me-downs from my brother. As a father of 4, he didn't spend that much time with his kids. Crazy as this sounds, I was a little jealous of his free time. It just wasn't fair. It came to the point where I just didn't even like him, and I felt justified. I didn't like this guy. You know, let me just back up a second. I was his brother-in-law. He wasn't a Christian yet. It was even starting to affect how I treated his kids. But I didn't care, to be honest. Finally, once when they were over, my wife kindly said, Chris, I knew what she was going to say, right? Like, what are you doing? These guys aren't Christ followers yet, and you're treating them really badly. And I was. I remember going upstairs to my bedroom, and I remember kneeling next to my bed and saying, God, I don't like him. That's the way I started my prayer. It's not fair. It's not fair he gets away with murder, and I have to toe the line as a Christian. You know, it's just not fair. And ever so slowly, God began to transform my mind. I felt like God saying to me, you know, Chris, I know it's not fair. He shouldn't act that way toward his wife and family. But it's not about him anymore. It's about you. You know, even if he treats other people poorly or you poorly, you are still responsible for how you treat him. You are still responsible for your attitude. This is not what I wanted to hear. But I knew he was right. And God was slowly renewing my mind. And that's true for all of us. Something happens and we go, I'm not responding right on this thing. And we allow God to slowly transform us by renewing our mind. Sometimes we even believe things for a long time when we find out they're not true. We believe things for a really long time, and then eventually we find out they're not true. I say to the membership class, I teach the membership class periodically, I say when they come in, about half of what you believe is wrong. And they kind of look at me funny and go, what are you talking about? I said, but the truth of the matter is, for most of us, some of what we believe, maybe half, is not correct because we still believe what we think is true and what the culture is telling us instead of what is true with God. My example before was that example. Sometimes we believe things a long time that aren't true. Many years ago, all our kids went to Lake Lundgren Bible Camp, and they'd go there for a week, and they had a great time. It's a great camp for kids. But there's a point in the week where the camp director gets all the kids down by the campfire, and he says to them, straight face, and he says, now, listen, across the lake is another camp. Okay, the kids are all going, yeah, okay. So when you sing the song, My God is So Big, I want you to say big really, really loud. Because when they hear that on the other side of the camp, they'll go big back. Okay, got it? This is true. So the kids would go, My God is so big. And then like 3 seconds later, you hear big. And then they'd go, My God is so good. Good. And, you know, they did it every time. And, you know, for years, my son Seth, who's 17 now, believed this. And he said it was so real. And he argued, actually, with his older sisters about it until they tried to tell him, Seth, it was just an echo. You know? No, he said, it's true. No. But sometimes we believe things that seem to be true, but they're not. And when we renew our mind, it changes. And God graciously changes our mind. Sometimes we think things are true, but they're not. Ever heard these? God wants me to be happy. Surely he doesn't want me to be in an unhappy marriage. If I do good enough in this world, if I do as many good things as I can, I'm sure I'll go to heaven. I've been a pretty good person. God says to us, okay, you need to renew your mind. Give me your minds to refill them with the truth, rather than the untruths that you so easily believe. Okay, so now let's come to the last part of the verse. Then and only then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, when I came to this verse, I thought, this is great. This explains why I should not be conformed to the pattern of this world, be transformed by the renewing of my mind. He says, then. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Now, let me read you one from the New Century Version. It says, then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. See, that's great. When you do this, then you'll be able to know what God wants for you. Helps you make decisions. Helps you have a clear way of thinking about things. So when we, by God's leading, we follow his command not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, and then allow God to completely change and begin to slowly restore our minds, then we'll be able to do that. God will make his will and his purposes for us and our direction more clear. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? We make decisions all the time, sometimes really large decisions that we want to know what to do. And God says, okay, allow your mind to be restored and I'll give you a clearer thinking. So how do we renew our minds? How do we restore our minds so what they should be? Now let me give you a few practical ideas on this one. If you were one of the estimated 500 people who walked across the Christmas Eve bridge this year, come to Starting Point. Starting Point is an 8-week group that we have on Sunday morning. It's what we call a conversational environment where you can explore faith in the context of community. It's a great place to talk and ask your questions about God. Because I know for a fact some of you here are going, I don't know about this God thing. I'm not sure. Or you're just a brand new believer and you go, I don't know where to go from here. And, you know, if you're just a skeptic and wonder, is this true or not? Starting Point is a great place to ask your questions. It's not long. It's 8 weeks. So there's two classes available. You can sign up online. If those fill up, great, we'll start some new ones. If you like to learn with others, well then find a small group that fits you. If you stop by the Connection Center after service, there are two people, John and Mimi Hauser, who will do everything they can to get you involved in a small group that you try. They'll ask you questions and see if you can fit. You know, find one that fits you best. If you long to see your marriage better, you know, and all of us do, and grow and become better, join us at Marriage Development. It's a great group that meets on Thursday nights. And there's many more opportunities like that. But I want to highlight one more that all of us can start, and it all begins with us. So let me give you a little background. Again, in college, I was a brand new Christ follower, didn't know much at all. And I got involved in a group in college, other Christians, and I knew that was the right thing to do, so I started to do that. And after a while going, I remember this one girl who I respected, I liked, she was a nice girl, and she said, Chris, do you read the Bible regularly? And I said, well, what's regularly? I said, I read the Bible sometimes. And she said, no, do you read it every day? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, listen, Chris, I challenge you to read the Bible every day. Just read it 7 minutes every day for 30 days. Just 30 days, she said. And she added, if it doesn't change you at all, Chris, go do something else. I love that. I love that. Because it was 30 days, it was short, and she said, if it didn't work, if it didn't change me, if it didn't change the way I think about things at all, she said, do something else. Well, I started to do this in college, and I, you know, for day one, you know, whatever, day two, you know, little bit. It wasn't really until about the fourth or fifth day where I started to go, you know, this is starting to make sense, and I want to learn this. I want to, you know, I'm learning some things about God and about other things that I just never did before. And it started to change me. It started to change me. And, you know, as I was getting ready for this message, I actually went through my stuff, and I actually found this guy. This was it. It was a long, long time ago. And last Saturday, I just started it again. Just decided I would go through this. I think I'm on day eight this morning. And it was reading like 10 or 12 verses. You know, I think it's the Gospel of John, or Mark, I think it was. As I was doing this, as I was starting, getting myself quiet enough, because we're all so busy, but as I started to do this, I could remember the feelings of anticipation and sort of excitement that, you mean this might actually change me? And I loved it. So how about you? Is it worth it for you to spend 7 minutes a day reading the Bible for 30 days? Some of you I know have got great devotions with God, and you begin to do this on your own, and I understand that. But many of us know. You know, I think I was 19 at the time. And, you know, you could be any age, whether you're 6 or whether you're, you know, 90. And I would challenge you, if it doesn't change you after 30 days, go do something else. Go do something else. You know, just an encouragement, because I know some of us have been followers of God for a long time in our lives. Some of us not very long. Some of us in here haven't at all. And, you know, I think back to the disciples. They followed Jesus for 3 years, and they weren't really followers of God yet. I mean, you could see it at the end because they all denied him. They all went their own way. If Jesus had never come back from the dead, they would have been gone. So, but they followed even without believing really Jesus. And I think for some of you who aren't yet followers of Christ or just wondering about this, follow him. Follow him for 30 days. Read for 30 days and see what happens. Because if this is the Bible and if God is real, it will. So let me read a couple verses. In Luke 24:45, it says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. You know, it makes me want to pray more that God would open my mind to what is true in the scriptures instead of thinking, I can easily do it on my own. I can figure it out on my own. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. When we give God our minds to be renewed, something changes. When we love God with all our minds, our ability to make wiser decisions about life gets better. When our minds are open to his truth, we see things clearer. Why wouldn't we want to do this? So now it's your choice. It's your choice. If it doesn't change you, if refilling your mind with God's truth doesn't change you, go do something else. But I think deep down, all of us want to hear from this God. All of us want to have a glimpse of, is this God really real? And does he care about my life? So, love the Lord with all your mind. With all your mind. Thank you.